It's time for another Internet Advisor Show podcast. Since 1998, we've been helping computer users get on the Internet, get around it, and get over the problems they encounter there. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour weekly radio program heard on WJR 760 AM in Detroit since 1998 and across the state of Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor podcast.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome aboard on a beautiful spring day heading into the Memorial Day weekend. Delighted to have you with us. I'm Foster Brown, and I got my crew in studio with me. My posse is here, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, Kel Carson, and we're going to be talking about some tremendous teen techers. We are having some guests in here from the Michigan Council of Women in Technology and talking about some of their outstanding stars and recognizing young people who are tremendous scientists. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor, or if you're just coming in the front door, come on in, sit down, grab a chair and pull it up. We've got a great program for you. I tell you, amazing, I think, is a word that continually strikes me, guys, as I was preparing for this program. All this week, we have been receiving some amazing news about amazing teenagers and inventions that they're coming up with. And we've got a young woman in studio with us. We'll be talking with her, who has been awarded for her skill in technology. First, let me introduce Mr. Gary Baker in studio here.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Ed Riddell.
Hello, Foster.
And Kel Carson.
I'm just visiting.
That's the
not a chance.
That's the whole team. Well, we're going to be talking about some rather remarkable teens throughout the program here, but I wanted to tell you guys, you're in the presence of a celebrity. Oh, come on,
Gary?
Now.
Yeah, it can't be me. Who is this?
I changed Google Maps.
I did, too, when I turned it off my computer and went to bed.
No. I actually changed a location on Google Maps.
Pray tell.
How did you do this? Yes, we all want to know.
It was kind of
funny.
After I visited Vancouver Island with my sister, she took me on a boat ride down the Alberni Inlet out to the Pacific Ocean. And on the way down there, on this boat, it made various stops. And one of the stops it made at was a floating post office, the only floating post office in the entire country of Canada. And when I got back, I was, kind of interested in just looking at these different things. So I got Google Earth up and I was looking at Google Maps. Lo and behold, it shows the post office 5 miles away, straight, they didn't know it, I don't think, straight up a mountain, because the mountains come right down to the water there and the inlet. And this post office is literally in a floating dock. It's the only one in Canada, which makes it fairly unique. So I wrote a note to Google. And in the Google, by the way, on the map, you can do this.
Right.
If you have a correction to put in there. And I said, folks, I just was there. And the post office isn't where you said it should be.
Does it float around?
It stays. It lets it go up and down with the tides. Okay. But it would not go any...
Well, you know what happened is the person that originally set up that data basically was saying, it cannot be on the water. Let's put it on the beach over here.
We must have made a mistake.
Yeah,
so
I think you might be right. They look for the closest road that was nearby, and that closest road, there is like a logging road that is way back up in the mountains, behind it, and...
I see it. Report a problem. I never noticed that link before.
Isn't that interesting? And you can actually, in this particular case, I thought, this is fairly significant. This is the only floating post office in the whole country of Canada. Hey, guys.
And I'm Foster, and I'm going to take care of this.
Part of it was a curious experiment on my part to see, did they really pay attention to this?
And can you do it?
And they did, and I got an email a little earlier on this week saying that thank you very much, that they had they had seen the report that I put in there, and then they go out and confirm that, of course. You know, they're not going to just say, oh, okay, I'm sure that's where it is. And after having done that, they agreed that is exactly where the post office is, and they have changed the notation then on the Google Maps. And
I am so happy that I don't have tons of money that I can waste. Because I would fly out there, pull the anchor up on that post office and roll it down the river about 5 miles and put it back down again and say, you guys didn't fix this.
Oh.
You know, that's interesting. The lady I carpool with back and forth from Ortonville to the Renaissance Center every day, she works for OnStar, and her job is POIs, points of interest,
yes,
for OnStar. And they receive hundreds of user tips and from their subscribers that basically says, this location is incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to correct it. Or, you know, what happens if there's an emergency and you're the geo, you know, the... You know,
the latitude and longitude isn't
of
right
your vehicle. What is the closest hospital or the emergency service?
Yeah, that'd be very important.
And a lot of people in the area say that's incorrect. This is not the correct area. This is the hospital that should be reported for that district. And that's her job. And she loves her job, calling all these places. She goes, it's the best job in the world.
You know, it's interesting. The whole notion of customers interacting with Google and making their maps more accurate. I know that Apple, Cal, when iOS 6 came out, when the map feature came out, they were counting a little too much on that and not on the databases. Mm-hmm. But all the mapping services really count on people like you and me finding some place that isn't quite where it's supposed to be, whether it's on the left side of the street instead of the right side of the street, or in this particular case, 5 miles away, straight down the mountain.
You know, it's almost like crowdsourcing. Well, it is crowdsourcing.
It is crowdsourcing.
That's exactly it. And which makes it interesting, this week there was news that the Israeli company called Waze, I use that application as I've been driving.
I do too.
It's, what's interesting about that, if you've ever gone to use W-A-Z-E, is both an Android app. It's I don't know if it's on Windows Phone, but it's on the iPhone.
It is on the iPhone.
It's on the iPhone, certainly. What happens is that you can actually report traffic accidents, road conditions, or whatever else it may be.
Like a policeman sitting there with his radar
it
out.
It could be that as well. I happened to be driving on the east side of the city, and the entrance to I-94 heading eastbound was shut down, so I went into Waze and I put that information in there. Well, that whole notion of having your mapping built around an interaction with an audience base is extremely important. So this little company called Waze, based in Israel, has 100 employees total, I think there are 11 of them in the U.S., is going for, it's been reported, $1.1 billion. And Yahoo, at least right now, looks like they're going to be the major bidder in there.
Really?
Although Google may go after them because...
So you can no longer work at home, but...
So anyway, you can have an impact on the maps that you follow. We'll be back in just a minute to talk about some young people who are having an incredible impact with their talents. I think it's fair to say that over the years, we have played the role of proud papas to our very talented daughters. I happen to have four. Gary has one, a very talented lady. Ed's got a daughter, and you also, Cal, have a daughter. Very talented people, right?
And we've all had our daughters in here,
right?
Helping us on occasion.
I've had my grandchildren, and my daughter's not yet.
Yeah, not your daughter's. But I mean,
I've noticed that the talent that my daughter has, the best of all the ones that she has, is extracting money from me.
She knows how to do that.
No,
well,
Cal, she has your charisma. She is a talker. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, that's true.
Which makes
her
a very good person in the Apple store.
Yes.
Well, the reason I set that up that way is that this week I have been just blown away by the teens, and particularly the young women in their teens, who have come forward with some incredible inventions on the national scale, international. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But right now, one of the things that's happened recently is that there have been a number of scholarships that have been presented to some very talented young women by a group of people, Gary, that you and I have known for quite a while now and have loved to support.
That's right.
The Michigan Conference on Women in Technology.
Michigan Council.
Council, pardon me. Yeah, that's how long I've been there. When
and we could find that, what exactly the name is, by introducing Charlotte Decker, who been, how long have you been with them, Charlotte? Charlotte, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you. I'm glad.
Hang on a second. There we go. Got it. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And how long have you been associated now with the group?
Well, I've been a member for many years, but I've been on the board for the past three.
3 years, okay.
Now, you are a professional woman who is in technology as well with AAA. That's your position as a chief technology officer. What does that entail at AAA?
Well, like all companies, there's lots of technology that supports business process. So from the phones all the way up to the mainframe and the storage and the data centers, all of that is kind of my purview.
Wow. And with the coming of the bring-your-own technology, that it must be an even more challenging kind of a job for somebody in a major corporation like yours.
Absolutely. We try to support people getting all of their smartphones connected.
And their iPads and their Nexus pads and their Kindles and everything else.
Absolutely.
Well, the role you play, however, and that we're going to be talking about today is as the Vice President of Program Development and scholarships. So why don't you talk a little bit about the recent scholarships that were presented, the general scholarships?
Right. So this was the eighth annual event that we provide. We present scholarships from $5,000 a year for 4 years for undergraduates and girls coming out of high school. And we also provide laptop grants as well as grants and tuition payments for girls in graduate school. So we had an awards presentation. Gary was there, and all the girls and their proud parents were there. And it was a wonderful event at the Birmingham Community House.
Now, as you said, this has been going on for a while.
And yes.
Now, what is the total number? Because there's quite a bit. By the way, folks, if you go to internetadvisor.net on our homepage, you'll see there that we have posted a link to that scholarship, along with the faces of the young women who have been invited to be on our show today as well. How many people were there that were awarded? You know, offhand, there were a lot.
There were eight girls.
Eight girls. And as you said, this is going from people who are in high school right now to people who are already in college.
Absolutely, and graduate school.
And graduate school as well.
And so, Foster, I mean, these women, young women, are truly remarkable. There was a teacher there that had three of his young ladies going to MIT next
fall.
Yeah,
I know.
And we invited Phil to come on the air. He couldn't make it, but we're going to get him on because I want to know how he can get and keep young women interested, and interested at such a high level. I think every one of them had a 4 point or above coming out of high school and into college. It was just amazing how wonderfully rich their talks were that when they accepted the awards. They did a great job. These are truly remarkable women.
Well, you know, that brings up a magic question that I have to ask Charlotte, and I'm so glad that so many women have achieved these awards this year. But if I'm a young woman sitting at home right now, and I got, you know, kind of a technology lean to me, what do I have to do to be able to try and prepare myself to qualify for next year's awards?
Well, continue to do well in school. You know, be active in the community. That was a big part of how we selected girls and young women, as well as, you know, participate in curricular activities outside of school that are centered around technology. You mentioned Phil Sands, who was a teacher, our Get It teacher at Plymouth Canton Salem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our after-school program. Get It stands for Girls Exploring Technology Together. And that club is kind of like a little incubator for girls who are interested in technology, math, and science, and letting them work together on projects, encouraging them. We take them on field trips to tech companies. And I think those types of activities keep the girls excited and interested in technology.
But if I'm a girl and I don't know about the Michigan Council on Women in Technology, or I do know about it, but I want to get exposed to it so I can at least be in the running for that sort of thing, what do I have to do to form a club? Or how do I get myself known so that I can get involved in that?
Well, the scholarship application opens in the fall.
Okay.
So around October 1st, we post it on our website, mcwt.org, and anyone can apply, any girl that is, or young woman can apply for the scholarship. And then we go through all the applicants and after the closing date, January 31st, and then we typically award in May.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the process. Now, you have somebody in studio with us here that I would like to introduce. We're going to talk with her a little bit now and then after the break a little bit more. Sophie Lee is with us, and Sophie is one of the winners of the Laptop Award. Sophie, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
Thank you. Sophie, what school did you go to?
I went to International Academy in Troy.
International Academy, okay, in Troy. Now, were you in any, what kind of particular groups were you in?
Well, I was involved with our first robotics club. I formed our school's tech club, and I did some stuff with computer programming.
Hang on just a second. We're not picking up on your microphone, so we're going to switch one over there. My garrulous friend will lend you his microphone, and I think we'll be able to hear you a little better. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Oh, there we go.
That's good.
So you were beginning to say you were in Troy, and you're going to high school there. Now, the other groups outside of class that you were involved in?
Well, the two major groups that I'm involved in would be music and technology. So I was part of the Detroit Symphony Youth Orchestra for several years.
What did you play?
I play the violin.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm into Mozart and all that stuff.
Oh, that is really classy. I like
it. Yeah, very. and then I was also part of our school's first robotics team for a year back in 10th grade. And then I realized I liked coding more than I liked cutting like steel. So
I love that.
I decided to start researching on my own about programming languages and the like. In 11th grade, I joined the MCWT website design contest.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have a teacher or anything, so I taught myself HTML and CSS. And somehow, miraculously, I won an honorable mention award during the actual competition
it.
In the advanced category.
Wow. That is wonderful. But that was enough to tease you on then,
Yeah,
huh?
Pretty much. So then I kept on learning and doing stuff. And then I won the first prize for advanced category again this year. In the web design competition, and I think in the future I'm going to go on and become like a super hacker or something. Except legally, of course.
A white hat, not a black hat.
Okay.
That's okay. We have hackers in the studio here. That gentleman over there.
I'm retired.
It is not a bad word, but it means it's somebody who can use mad skills to do all sorts of things with code, can't they, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So it's not just web design, but are you thinking, for instance, of getting into like application design? What kind of fields are you thinking of that?
I really want to go into computer science, and I'm thinking of going into the field of artificial intelligence because I'm really into the whole robots sort of thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
But programming them, not making them.
Yeah.
Got it.
Oh, but that programming would be fearsome. I've recently gotten hooked on a series that is now on Netflix, but it was produced this last year called Continuum. And it features a lot of the technology that kind of, I think, someday we will all benefit from. But maybe we can talk about it some other time. Sophie Lee is with us. And her mother, by the way, Hung Ming, is with us in the studio. Thank you very much for joining us here as well. As well as Charlotte Decker from MCWT, the Michigan Conference of Women in Technology. We'll be back in just a moment to talk more. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson in studio with us. We have some wonderful guests here. By the way, I would like to suggest you go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net. And not only in our show notes, but if you look down a little further at the news items there, there are three items. Teen develops algorithm to diagnose cancer. A teen tech cuts costs dramatically on self-driving cars. And one that just blew my mind was a young woman named Isha Kher, I think I'm maybe mispronouncing the last name, 18 years old, who developed a phone charger that will charge your cell phone in less than 30 seconds. A supercharger.
Wow.
And these people, the three people I mentioned there, were honored by Intel at an international technology fair that goes on. And the young gentleman from Romania, who was 19 years old, won, I think, $75,000 for his creating. It was amazing. He's going to create a radar, a 3D radar, that will cut the cost from $75,000 to $4,000 a unit for these self-driving cars. I mean, just incredible. And another young woman developed, 18 years old, developed an algorithm that will diagnose cancer, something near and dear to my heart.
Yes.
And we'll do it with an algorithm.
I mean, hurry up and get in production.
Yeah, get in production quickly. But what I bring this up is that we are just in the presence of some remarkable talent in these young people. And I'm just delighted that we have in studio with us Sophie Lee, who is one of the winners of the Michigan Council of Women in Technology's recent scholarship program. She was a laptop award. And Sophie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here, along with Charlotte Decker, who is the vice president at Michigan Council of Women in Technology for program development and scholarships, as well as her full-time job as a CTO at AAA of Michigan. Charlotte, just a quick question. Where did you first get involved in technology?
Well, if I go back far enough, I was an audiovisual person in elementary school. So, you know, those antiquated machines, you know, when it was reel to reel and nothing was digital, I was always the one tinkering with those machines to get into the classroom and make them work. And I went to public school, so there wasn't a lot of money to fund new equipment.
So you were born a geek and stayed a geek.
Oh, yeah, it's hereditary. My dad's a geek.
Is he?
Absolutely.
But who fired your imagination?
I think it was my mom. She said, hey, you're good at math and science, so why don't you go into computers?
Charlotte, you know, that's unusual, though, back, not to say that we're old or anything,
a long
time
ago, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, long ago, so many times today, I still run across parents who say, you know, they discourage their kids, both young boys and young girls, from getting into science and technology. But especially young women, it's like, why would you want to do that? And we're going, because there's a lot of jobs there. There's some money there. It's
absolutely fun.
How do we get parents and teachers to start not it'd be helpful if they just didn't steer them away from technology, but I really like them to steer them towards technology. How do we do that?
Well, one of the things we're trying to initiate and spread around, especially through the women in the MCWT, they're often asked to go to career days at high schools and junior high schools. Mm-hmm. So we're putting together a whole suite of presentations and demonstrations that these women can take to their daughter's school or their son's school and talk about technology and information technology.
And there's a tremendous group of very high-powered and talented women who are part of your council.
Absolutely.
Just
we've
incredible.
Got CIOs. We've got vice presidents. Yep. And these women I kind of grew up with. Maru Flores is our president.
Yeah.
And I met Maru down in Mexico at the Hermosillo plant back when we were in our 20s and younger and more beautiful. But yeah.
No.
So what, about 5 years ago? Is that
No, it was 1986.
That's neat. Just after the earthquake.
Yes.
Down there. That's right. Yes. Now, you were going to ask a question.
Well, no, I'm not going to ask a question.
Okay.
I will ask a question. But what I wanted to say is that for the guys that are listening out there, you know, a lot of people think, you know, if a girl's involved or a young lady's involved in technology, she's probably some sort of geek who lives in a basement and you know, and doesn't look as attractive as they like to do. But Sophie is a very attractive young lady. If you go out on our website, you'll see that. But in addition to that, she doesn't just live in her basement. Sophie, you're a singer. You're an artist. You play with the symphony. Singer. What style?
Well, right now I'm really into the whole K-pop, Korean music.
Okay.
But I also like listening to Justin Bieber, like normal girls. No, not actually Justin Bieber, actually.
What's the heartthrob out there for you?
Heartthrob?
Yeah, the ones that, the cute one.
Tony Stark, but he's kind of too old for me, and he's not a singer. He's kind of out of my league.
He's just another engineer.
And what sort of artistic bend do you have?
Well, I have a couple of friends who are really into art, so I get most of my artists off of them. So right now it's Andy Warhol and his like crazy colors and abstract art. So.
And you're a designer too, so I imagine that with web design that would also figure in as well, the visual aspect of it.
Definitely.
Now, who got you started? Who was the person that kind of triggered your imagination?
What was your inspiration that made you say, I want to be like that?
Well, it wouldn't really be a who. It'd be more of an it, because I'm like a 21st century kind of kid. So it was always the internet for me. And I really liked playing video games and stuff. I remember playing pinball machines in solitaire when the internet was out. And I just really got curious about how things worked and how click and drag worked. So I would take apart things. And my parents never yelled at me for like destroying their like sofas or TVs and whatever. So I just kept on destroying things. And
You and Ed are kindred spirits then. Only he would never put them back together, period. Or he had extra parts when he put it back together.
Always extra parts.
Well, do you have extra parts, Sophie?
Yeah. I would hide them, though, so my parents wouldn't know.
Yeah. And it somehow would work.
Sophie, yeah. I'm curious. You were the laptop winner, okay? You got a laptop. What kind of laptop are you going to get?
It was a, I think it was a Dell Inspiron 15R with a Core i3. That was third generation.
Okay, third generation. So are you, what operating system are you getting for running? I'm interested.
That one was Windows 8.
Was Windows 8?
Yeah.
Tell me how you feel about Windows 8 as an operating system.
It's really complicated. I mean, I really want to like it because it's really next gen and really cool.
Get it, get that apple away from her.
Cal sliding an apple across. Yeah, it's going to crumble the other generation.
What system do you prefer?
Right now, my personal laptop is a Windows 7 laptop, so I know the ins and outs of all the preferences and all the kernel stuff of the Windows 7. But Windows 8 is like a completely new animal, and I don't know how to use it. Like the charm bar is so confusing.
Okay.
I think with some more tinkering, though, I can get my head.
You know,
my,
she makes me feel so good that I'm not the only one that doesn't like change. You know, even the young generation is feeling that way.
But well, you were very skilled at using Windows 7, I imagine. I mean, it's not just
she
tinkering
really
around with it.
Well, my God, let's go down the technology wormhole just a little bit deeper. Do you carry a phone?
Yes.
Which one do you have?
Well, I want to get the HTC One, but right now I'm not. I don't have a smartphone because my parents say it's too much of a distraction.
Okay, but you would like to have an Android-based phone?
Definitely. I'm really looking forward to the Nexus 5, but that's way in the future. So
the HTC One is very well engineered, very well spoken of.
It's beautiful. Beautiful. Plus the
it has Apple aesthetics.
Yes, and the speakers are really good, I really like music. So
there you go,
and you get Swish on it, and a bunch of other things.
Sophie, where will you be going this fall? You're graduating, right?
Yes.
Okay, and where will you be heading?
I'm going to Franklin W. Olin School of Engineering in Needleham, Massachusetts. That's
and tell me a little bit about that, because it's a name I wasn't familiar with, and that's
I certainly am. It's one of the better schools for engineering. Absolutely,
it's a relatively small school, and they're also really heavily engineering based. And what's unique about it is that it's a relatively new school too, because it was founded with a grant from Franklin W. Olin. Mm-hmm. And what this school tries to do is it tries to change the whole idea of what a college should be like. So instead of having courses with, they give you a book and then you have a final exam that you cry about and then you take it.
Yes. She's got this whole college thing down.
She does. I cried a lot too. Yes.
Well, what's cool about Olin is that it's a project-based curriculum. So at the beginning of the course, they'll be like, okay, so in 6 months, we want to see this. And your grade depends on that. So for the procrastinators, it kind of sucks because you can't BS an entire project in like a week, right?
You're right.
But there's no more crying because it's very functional. And when you go out into society, you know how things will work. You don't know how they theoretically work, but you know how they
do
work.
Did you see the story about Isha Kahar, that young woman from Intel, who the Intel contest, who won the prize for the superconductor that she has?
Not yet.
Was a supercapacitor.
So I have I have something else to make sure that Sophie knows. And today is National Geek Pride Day.
Is it?
And MODIS,
how fortuitous.
IT staffing, always puts together a survey every year. There's 68% of Americans say they would date a geek. So
my chances are good.
So your chances are good. And actually, there's, you know, when they go down through, it's kind of a great little survey, and they obviously do it to have some fun. But, you know, 68% with love connections. Geeks are smart. They're 58% say that geeks are smarter than them. And if they aren't a geek, and if they are a geek, they're, you know, it's 99%.
Well, I tell you what,
geeks are too smart. So.
Sophie and Charlotte, hang on. We're going to take a break for just a minute and talk with Mike Brennan about this week's headlines in Michigan Technology News. We'll come back and wrap things up with you in our next segment here on the Internet Advisor.
The war had been going on for 2 years, and I got the calling. I got the calling to join the service and support the boys over there.
Thousands of American troops have come home from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, suffering the effects of post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries.
I never thought that I would have PTSD. I thought that I had enough coping skills.
I don't think anybody who goes into combat could ever honestly say that they're not different when they come home.
What you take as a simple thing is not so simple for me anymore.
I'm going to have my good days and my bad days, and I really don't like those bad days.
I would say to those people that are out there, don't brush us aside and don't count us out.
Help the USO support these troops and their families. Hear more of their stories at usoinvisiblewounds.org. The wounds are...
Now back to the Internet Advisor. Once again, your hosts, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Rudell.
And it's time, as it is every week at this time in our show, to hear from Mike Brennan about MITechNews.com, the tech news in Michigan. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Foster and Ed and Gary. Geek Appreciation Day, really?
National Geek Appreciation Day. Pride
Holy
Day.
Holy cow. Pride. The governor should get on this one, right?
Yes, he should.
He's a nerd. I don't know if there's a difference between nerds and geeks.
I get confused on that. Well, anyway, I was at, this is really my road week. I was at the Michigan Growth Capital Symposium on Tuesday, and then I was at the Michigan Technology Leaders on Wednesday and sat next to this guy. I think it was Gary Baker. Anyway,
yeah, we had a good conversation.
That came out of the symposium was Kelly Williams, who runs a $30 billion investment fund for Credit Suisse, and also of that money, $600 million is Michigan venture capital funds, said that Michigan now is becoming a compelling state for venture capitalists to come in to make investments. Now, that's something we haven't heard of, right, Gary? I can't think of anybody saying that any time in the last 20 years or so.
It's always been the flyover state, right?
Yeah,
from either coast.
So, I mean, she said that we got everything going together, the fact that it's been a bipartisan effort and that, you know, 100 years ago, Michigan was the entrepreneurial state, and then we just forgot how to do that and became big and bureaucratic. So going back to our roots. And as part of that, they also announced Michigan Venture Capital Association announced that Michigan did so many deals in 2012, well, relatively speaking, you know, we're not California or Massachusetts, that we moved from 25th in the nation to 15th in the national venture capital rating. I mean, these are anybody that's an entrepreneur out there has got to be excited about this.
Excellent. Yeah, that means that money is heading our way.
Absolutely. I also want to put in a plug for an event I'm going to be at later this week. The Mid-Michigan Innovation Center is hosting its fifth annual Innovation and Entrepreneurial Showcase, and I'm going to be there interviewing a lot of the entrepreneurs. So for my friends in the Midland area, come on down, and you know, we'll see if we can get your story out there in MI Tech News and maybe even talk about it on this show.
Hey, speaking of MI Tech News, just kind of quickly, Mike, maybe tell people what the you know, what is MI Tech News? What makes it unique particularly?
Well, you know, I certainly have competition out there, but I mean, what I do a lot more of is I look at what's going on around the state with not only Michigan technology. I'm not going to, like you guys, tell you how to fix your hard drive, but I'll tell you how to take a look at what's going on in the state with the different companies we have, the people that's going on, the trends. Also, we do a lot more political stuff. I pick up political stuff from our buddies at Gonwer News Service so that we have, you know, looking at the issues that entrepreneurs and small business need to know. And, of course, being an entrepreneur myself, I have a heavy emphasis on news for and about entrepreneurs because, you know, once you get this in your blood, you never want to work for anybody, right?
That's true. So, by the way, folks, this is the unique focus of MITechNews.com. And if you'd like to find out more about it, click on the homepage. We have a hot link under the MI Tech News. You can find out more about that, how you can subscribe and find out more detail about, not only about these stories, but about many more. And speaking about the many more, got some stories to wrap up for us?
Yeah, I do. The State Department of Michigan Technology Management and Budget Procurement is, well, you know, there's so many contracts available through the state. Anyway, Automation Alley is hosting a Contract Connect seminar on June 21st. And these things sell out rapidly because you get a chance to buttonhole the folks at the state that are in the, you know, dealing with technology and whatnot. So if you have a technology product or service you want to sell the state, you want to be at this event on June 21st, and you can get the registration information at mitechnews.com.
Okay. Very, very good. Mike, that's great. Thank you so much for giving this unique look at news that particularly impacts our state through the entrepreneurs. As you were saying, some really good news this week, the way that Michigan is becoming a much, much bigger player in that whole entrepreneurial network.
You know, and this partnership we have with MI Tech News and Mike Brennan just helps us do one of the two goals that we've had in the last 15-plus years that we've been doing this show, which is trying to promote technology companies and internet companies here in Michigan to not only the Midwest but to the world. Mm-hmm. And Mike does such a great job of that. This is a wonderful partnership.
Thanks a million, Mike. It's good to have you on again this week as well.
Thanks, Foster. Thanks,
all right.
Gary and Ed.
Take care.
Thanks, Mike.
You know, we've had two people in studio here we want to make sure that we wrap up with, and that is Charlotte Decker, who is the CTO, Chief Technical Officer with AAA in Michigan, but also with the Michigan Council of Women in Technology as the Vice President of Program Development and Scholarships. And along those lines, we've been delighted to have Sophie Lee in studio with us, one of the winners of the laptop for the folks who are, and you know, there's other things that have been awarded as well to help them. What are some of the other things that were awarded, Charlotte?
Well, we also awarded our $5,000 for 4 years scholarships to both a high school graduate and to a girl who participated in our Get It high school program after school. There's an undergraduate scholarship, which is $5,000 for 3 years, and a graduate scholarship, which is, I think, $5,000 for however long it takes her to graduate. No, I'm sorry. It's only 3 years.
Oh, my God. I was going to say, I'd put on a dress for that.
Oh, that's a scary thought. Speaking of Mr. Kel Carson here, asked a much more serious question before, and that was about how young women or parents who are listening right now, family members, can get their young woman involved in this program. There are high school programs. You mentioned the Get It program. Can you talk about some of those? Because I know there's one, I think, in Ferndale, isn't there, as well?
Right, right. University High School in Ferndale is the high school we've been working with the longest, and Julie Patterson is the teacher there.
Right.
Phil Sands is the teacher we were working with Plymouth, Kent, and Salem. We had a program at Denby for a year, but with some of the things going on with DPS, that didn't work out. But we're going to start another high school program, hopefully, with Cristo Rey in Southwest Detroit.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes. That would be so wonderful.
Yeah. High school.
I'm excited to hear that there is an effort to get the technology down to the public school level, because I think there are other schools where they have a lot of money. They've been able to make room for that, but to get it down for people who are within that public school level, man, that is fantastic to hear. Cal.
Is it possible that if a concerned parent wanted to, mentor a group or something like that, may not necessarily be tied directly to a school, but willing to do an after-school program, would they be able to get in contact with your group and perhaps set up something that way as well?
Absolutely. We try to work through the school, though, because we're using the school facility mm-hmm. and the auspices of the school program to support it. But if a parent is willing to put in the time, we're more than happy.
Well, I think it would be terribly important to have parents involved in education.
Absolutely.
In any way.
Yeah, like if they had a, or maybe a church might want to, get a group together and say, we'll, meet after school at this church and be able to do some sort of things like that. Is that possible as well?
We're trying to partner more with community groups to do exactly that, whether it's Girl Scouts or church groups. But again, we have to do all that through volunteers. MCWT is a primarily volunteer organization.
And the way to get to that is through a homepage. We have
our org site.
Their organizational site was mcwt.org. And if you go into our homepage, click on that banner there. Sophie, your mom is here in studio with us, Hunming. And I'm wondering, what role did she have in encouraging your gift?
She's the cheerleader, so I don't go insane at like 11:59 the day before the deadline. She's absolutely instrumental in like helping me push forward and actually submit all my projects on time.
So she is there to make sure that genius gets applied, right? Now you're going away to college. She won't be there for you.
Indeed.
Yeah, it's going to be up to you. I think you're going to do a great job. We have asked before, and I hope that you can come back, Sophie, maybe next year about this time.
That would be awesome.
To tell us what it's been like for you in that first year in college, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Sophie Lee, one of the award winners at the MCWT Scholarship Awards. And Charlotte, thank you so much to you and to all the great women who are working with that organization.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Folks, stick around because this next hour is all yours. And that means if you call us at 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR, we'll take on your questions and help you to answer questions about your computer, about getting around the internet, or getting over it if you've got some problems with it. The number again, 800-859-0957. You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. If you want to see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage or enter our forums and place your question there. You can also friend us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor Show podcast. Welcome to hour number two, your hour of the Internet Advisor. That's when we take your calls at 800-859-0957. Phone lines are open now. I know it's a beautiful spring afternoon, but a great time to get your questions answered. And they don't have to be complicated. They don't have to make, as the song said, cross a rabbi's eyes. They can be simple questions that will help a whole bunch of people. 800-859-0957. It's a lovely day in the neighborhood, and I'm delighted that you've joined us on the beginning of a long Memorial Day weekend, or if you're listening to us on a pre-recorded program, thank you for joining us again. By the way, a reminder for those of you who listen to us on the Michigan Talk Network at various times in the cities that we service with our program, we're delighted to be heard in a whole bunch of different places around the state. Oh, cities like Grand Rapids, Lansing, Saginaw, Kalamazoo, and Muskegon. If you go to internetadvisor.net, you'll see a whole list of the times when we're on in those different cities. But if you listen to us on a pre-recorded program, you can still get a question to us through our Contact Us form on the homepage, internetadvisor.net. Click on that, put your question in, and we'll tackle it during the week. Or sometimes we bring them around on the air on Saturdays as well. All right, let's, guys, dive right into answering some questions. And we have with us Ken from Ann Arbor. Ken, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Happy Memorial Day weekend.
Hi, good afternoon. Say, I'm trying to figure out what type of monkey business my computer, I believe, is taking in from the Internet. Just today, a message comes up. Basically, it says your browser search settings have been changed away from Amazon. It says it's usually done by malicious software.
Where did this message come from? Does it identify itself?
Not really. It's this unchecked. It calls itself the Amazon Search Project.
Was Amazon your home page before, or did you use it for searching?
No,
Google.
Google, and it has infected both Firefox and Internet Explorer, both running the latest versions.
Yeah, yeah, and so you're seeing the message come up in both places.
Right.
Yeah.
I've tried to get rid of it. Microsoft Security Essentials. The other Microsoft one, the Safety Scanner, and Malware.
Malware Bytes. Okay, you've used that.
Nothing will get rid of it.
How long ago did this happen? I'm just quick. I'm sorry. Just quickly.
Started this morning.
Just this morning. Well.
So what is it called again? Amazon.
It's called the. They go by the title of Amazon Search Project.
Yeah, that sounds bogus. But what it's done is it's changed your search function in both of those browsers, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. This is it sounds like the typical kind of hijacking I'm hearing from a lot of different places. A lot of our callers and people who email us are telling us about this as well. That's one of the symptoms. Would it be right, guys, to say that's one of the symptoms of a virus attack, that you all of a sudden have your searches hijacked?
Oh, definitely.
Now,
yes.
Eddie,
I had one last night. I was on Reddit, and I was reading a technology forum that's in there, and I was trying to follow this one thread, and it took me, and then in the comments section, it took me to a link, and I go, oh, that's interesting, and then all of a sudden, my page went back. I had the phony antivirus scan taking place on my computer, this was on my work computer.
Wow.
So, and it was a Java attack. So, I mean, I shut down the computer, and I knew exactly what to do, but for any other person, it was like, what do you do?
So, Cal?
I don't know. I was out here searching on the net, and I came across something at mozilladev.mozdev.org, and it's something called the Mycroft Project, and they've got all sorts of plugins that they're creating. There's a bunch of Amazon plugins out there for some reason or another. I don't know whether he stumbled across one of these plugins by mistake.
Well, isn't there a way of disabling all plugins within Mozilla as well?
Sure.
I believe I have most... I'll have to go back and double check that.
Well, here, Ken, one of the things that strikes me is a couple things. First of all, you're seeing this in both Internet Explorer and on Firefox.
That's correct.
So it's anytime you're trying to get onto the Internet, whatever browser you're using, you're showing this thing. Now, Eddie, it just happened this morning. Would your solution of doing a system restore possibly save this?
It could. It depends on the type of attack.
I tried. No luck.
Okay.
Unfortunately, did he say he downloaded any malware or anti-rootkit scanners?
Well, Malwarebytes, he's run. In other words, his home Microsoft Security Essentials was there. It didn't do anything. You had another one from Microsoft to try to get it. Malwarebytes didn't find it.
What about CombiFix?
Yep.
If you go to majorgeeks.com.
I have a link for it on the internetadvisor.net.
Yeah.
In the toolbox.
And you want to download something called CombiFix. And after you download it, you're going to run it. You're going to reboot your machine and get it in safe mode. And then you're going to run that program against it and see if it finds something. Because no one program will find everything.
It's called CombiFix, CombiFix, one word.
And all you have to do is go to internetadvisor.net, go to Ed's toolkit on that page, and then look for CombiFix on there. He has a link for it.
And there's only one legitimate site that you can download it from.
Yeah, it's very important.
And my article basically says it goes from
BleepingComputers.com is where it's actually parked at, but you can get to it from Major Geeks as well.
It takes your homepage address, which is relatively simple, and expands it to several hundred characters.
Yeah, it's a hijack, basically. I don't think there's any question about it.
Now, the other thing is you could actually have a rootkit installed on your computer as well.
Mm.
So on the Internet Advisor as well, underneath toolkits, I have a rootkit scanner, and a rootkit scanner link it's a Malwarebytes one. And a rootkit could also give you all these symptoms as well.
In summary for you, Ken, go to internetadvisor.net, into the toolkit, look for the CombiFix, download that, run it in safe mode. The other one is look for the rootkit and see if those two things help you, all right?
Okay, sure, appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Back with more of your questions in just a moment, 800-859-0957. We're delighted to be able to help you here on this Memorial Day weekend with your computer problems. Please take advantage of it. We've got about 40 more minutes for you to call us at 800-859-0957. Guys, you got some follow-up to our last caller?
Yes, we tracked this down, and it definitely is a scam from Ken from last segment. The domain name is not one that we recognize, so we tracked it down by using the Whois database, and it's registered to domains by proxy, which means that, and they're in Arizona, they will take, because you have to list who the domain name is registered to for any legitimate registrar, these guys go in and register it in their name, and then go in the background will allow some other of their customers to use it, and they're kind of bad guys, right? You know, domain by proxy, because they obfuscate who really owns that domain. Pretty bad guys as it is, but they're probably not the ones that are perpetrating the scam. It's one of their clients that is.
Gary, you said obfuscate. Don't you really just want to say that they're like the front guy?
They're the front guy.
Yeah, there you go.
That masks who really owns
this. Because for me, I completely glazed over on obfuscate. I was like, wow, that's really cool. I'm going to have to use that one day.
That is 25 points.
Yes.
Oh, without a doubt.
That's 25 points.
Was that word for friends or the other one? Original Scrabble?
Oh, man. Original Scrabble. There we go.
I think it took all the tiles off the board.
Well, I was telling my friend the other day that we all know what proximity is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But propinquity.
Propinquity.
Propinquity is the, you know, it's proximity, but you like it. So is that a better way to describe that, Foster?
I think it may be a better way to describe it.
God, the man puts the right emphasis on the right saliva, doesn't he?
Oh, yes. Dear. Let's go back to our callers. Connie from Troy, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Let us help you.
Oh, please. Thank you.
Certainly.
I've got a little home-based business going, and I've got a server, and I've got some external towers that I have remote users coming in through. to do what we've got to do. Mm-hmm. And one, we've been having problems all week with various things, and we've got everything back up and running and whatever, and today the system was just being real doggy. So I shut everything down, modems, routers, server, workstation, bring everything back up, and one of my towers is not coming back up. And I don't know whether we've cooked the thing, whether, I mean, I'm playing with it now, and I'm thinking that maybe the hard drive's gone in it.
Mm-hmm.
The power light is on, but that's about it.
Mm. How old is the tower, Connie?
Well, it was a refurb when I got it, and I've had it since September. So I really don't know how old the thing is. It could be 4 years plus.
Are you anywhere near it right now?
Oh, I'm looking at the insides of it right now.
Okay, and being safe, of course, since you got already torn apart, you know smart enough where not to touch and what to touch. But when the power is plugged into it and you turn the power on, even though you're not getting anything on the screen, are the fans in the back turning?
I don't think anything's kicking on now.
Power supply?
Then I'm going to suspect you probably got a bad power supply.
Yeah.
So even though the power light itself comes on.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The light will still come on even though the power supply is bad. One of the things about the newer power supplies especially is that if the fan doesn't spin, then it doesn't feed power to the motherboard to keep it from overheating itself and burning mm-hmm. the CPU mm-hmm. out. So it'll still respond and say, yes, I'm getting power, but I'm not going to feed it to the motherboard.
Oh, and you know, you're located in Troy, aren't you?
Yeah.
You could go to Micro Center, pick up right. a power supply for $80, $50,
that,
$125.
Really. Yeah.
But if this is a full-size tower, you're probably looking at, what, 400 watts?
Yeah, and yeah. you could take either the tower with you so you can get the right size power supply,
or you could just pull the power supply out
if you're crafty and it sounds like you are, just take it over there and try that.
So
you know, you don't necessarily have to give it to the counter. You could take the unit and work with one of the techs and say, you know what, I want to buy a power supply for this.
That's what I did. I brought mine in.
Yes.
Same, right. So that I want to make sure, because I've had problems before where I didn't have the proper connections.
Yeah.
So,
well, I bought the refurb from them.
Oh, did you?
Okay.
Yeah. So, but it's out of the little limited warranty.
30-day warranty. Right.
Yeah, you just want to buy a power supply, and you want to make sure that it fits in there and will work. And
because
they'll kind of help you, not because they're going to charge you for any kind of tech support. They're just going to help you because they want to sell you a power supply.
But they have a service desk there, and they could charge you $120 just to put it in.
But don't do that.
Well, that depends. Well, she has a business; it'll be a write-off, but it's still
a business.
No,
no, no, no. Yeah.
Well, you got to spend it to write it off.
It depends on whether or not Connie can put it in herself.
Connie, can you?
Well, I've messed with power supplies.
Right.
A long time ago, I had an issue where, you know, my brother-in-law had helped me before I really knew anything about computers. He had helped me with that, and I know, you know, connections and placement and all that stuff are important.
Connie, can I suggest something that's worked for me as a klutz? I take a picture of the inside.
Hello.
And that way, I can see which connectors go to where.
Yeah. Before you take it apart.
Before I take it apart.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, this is one of those small form factors.
Yeah.
Oh, it is? Right. Oh, no. You might have a difficult time finding that power supply. Is it long and narrow?
It looks kind of chunky and blocky.
Well, is it like 6 inches by 8 inches or something like that? Or?
Oh, this looks...
Not the power supply, the whole box, right?
Am I looking at the right thing here?
Well, Connie, hang on a second.
Just take the CPU over there with you, and they can, and when they open the cover up, they'll see the size of the power supply and try and match it up for you. And Connie, let me tell you something. It's just between you and me, okay? If you go to Micro Center and you buy the power supply and it doesn't work, if you take it back within 15 days, they'll give you your money back. No questions asked, because they're nice people like that.
Well, I've had issues with them before, and they've always risen to the occasion.
I can't
speak highly enough about the people, the salespeople. I mean, anything I've had questions as I've been building what I'm doing. And
the only thing I will warn any spouse who has a geek as their mate, if they are unleashed inside of Micro Center, you won't see them for hours.
They'll be
shopping and tweaking things.
Okay, but back to the original problem.
This
computer failed because it refused to come on. But originally you had slowness before that. I'm not sure if hopefully rebooting your entire network took care of that problem?
Well, that we're still trying that out. I mean, I ended up bringing the remote user who uses this tower. I've routed her to another one, and she was saying that there were slow, it wasn't what normally should be.
Okay.
Mm. So still have issues coming in or what. But
Who's your internet provider, your business internet provider?
Wow.
Okay.
And we just went through, we just upgraded to an Aeris router through them that's supposed to give me 30, millibytes or megabytes.
Well, you know, if you just did that within the last 5 days, and then all of a sudden you're getting slow response, I'd call that business department right away and saying, what are you selling me?
Well,
you're crippling my business.
We've got a compounding problem here because in behind the Aeris, I've got a Netgear router that has, I guess the components of it does limit the speed, the processing speed of stuff. So we're trying to figure out what we're going to
She's got, so much speed coming in, and then it hits like a 100 megabit router after that, and so she's only going to get so much.
Well, it's not that it's 100 meg. Any router that you've bought in the last 10 years, at least, would have been 100 megabit. WOW is only giving you 30 megabyte, not 100 megabit.
The specs on this Netgear say that it limits you to 7, I think it is, once it gets into its processing.
Oh, okay. So you kind of have an outdated Netgear router. Okay.
Well,
you at Micro Center, try to find an equivalent. You probably pick one up for
A big shopping cart.
Under $50.
Yes.
Well, now we're looking at Cisco equipment now.
Okay.
Okay.
Good idea. Yeah. What you're doing is you're looking at those different components. But with that particular tower, again, I'd suggest take a little picture of it and just take the whole machine in there with you, or if you can, pull the power system out, the power supply out, and take it to them, okay?
We'll take it in. It's going shopping with me.
All right. Thanks so much for your call. Have a better weekend, Jim. Thanks so much. All right. Bye-bye. Back in just a moment for your questions. That's right. The young lady has got the number. She's got our number. 800-859-0957. Got a few lines open, by the way. I'd love to hear from you. Simple questions, complicated questions. You know, this last one we talked with was a person with somebody who's got their own home business and a rather complicated kind of setup there. You're maybe just having problems, as some of our callers have had, suddenly your homepage isn't what it used to be, or your computer is doing something that you just don't understand. We had, matter of fact, Gene Fogel from our news department before we came in was asking us a question about his why he was getting a blank screen in one place.
You know, I made a trip to the computer store because my daughter came back in college, and one of the things that she kept on saying is, "Dad, I ran out of ink." And I remember doing research before she went to college and I bought her that printer. I was shell-shocked at how cheap the Epson print cartridges were. I only paid $7.
Those have gone down. I don't know why, but you're right. The Epsons have all gone down.
You know, and I've told people, when you're shopping for, you know, printers, especially for kids going to college, and even for yourselves, look at the ink prices, then look at the printers for the quality, and make a decision somewhere in the middle.
One of the things I've noticed, by the way, as well, and Cal, I don't know if you've noticed, is with the build quality. I bought a new Brothers multifunction machine for Ginny because of Windows 8, and she can now print anything from there. But and it has color in it as well.
Yeah.
But the gauge, the plastic, is so incredibly thin.
Flimsy.
It is so flimsy. They're it makes it very light. Yeah. But for $80?
Yeah.
It almost is a throwaway.
Yeah, it's what you pay for, though.
Exactly.
I paid $120 for my Samsung printer. I could say that now that I'm not working for HP, right? And because I buy the cheapest out there, and it was a great quality. You know, I have to pay $140 to replace all the colors.
Oh.
And I'm only paying $120 for the printer.
So it's both a matter of the quality of the machine and the cost of the cartridges.
Right.
I think the other reason why ink has been dropping in price is because the cost of color laser has been dropping as well.
That's true.
I mean, it used to, color laser used to be like the luxury beyond belief.
Yep.
But, now, I mean, for example, I have a color laser printer. It's an Oki Data one. You heard that name in a long time.
Wow.
But they've been making color lasers for just as long as everybody else. $88 to replace all four color cartridges
in
my Oki.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, the cartridge, I will say the cartridges are broken in half. You have the color toner cartridge, and then you also have the drum that's with it. Well, the drums you don't have to replace, but like every 10 cartridges. Mm. But it's, I can print color on that printer is cheap or cheaper than my Epson color printer.
Yes. Oh, so I had an HP PhotoSmart printer, and the ink was really expensive. Yeah, so I thought, okay, I'm going to go to a different ink, you know, just a refurbished one. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to buy, you know, the HP certified ink cartridges. Right. I did that, and I first noticed that the ink wasn't as bright.
Right.
So it's more muted. And then it started to gum up on me.
Oh.
And so I thought, okay, I got it all cleaned up. I spent a little bit of time really cleaning the heads again. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to put anything but HP ink in. Well, then my son got a Win 8 computer, and it's not compatible because it was an older printer. So I had to go get one anyway. So I got the new OfficeJet, which is really nice, by the way. Very fast, prints on both sides. It was really nice, and it was pretty cheap, too, to get this. And I went back. I like HP, so I went back and got an HP again. The ink on for the new – first of all, it uses a completely different cartridge system.
Yes.
The ink is much cheaper than –
The old
cartridges for the... So if you're using an old computer or old printer, you might want to upgrade.
That's a very good point you're making. By the way, it was funny. I put a plug in for a company called Rapid Refill in Southfield. They're just north of 696. And their little shop there, but I've been getting all my laser cartridges there, and they do their own refilling on it and do a great job.
They do for laser, it really makes some sense.
It really makes sense because those things can, it cost me $55 versus almost $80 otherwise for a cartridge refill. But in any case,
read the reviews.
Yes.
Read the reviews because I did that.
That's a
for even
point.
The new printer cartridges, and I'll tell you what, there was a couple that had looked like they had the same problem that I did earlier. So,
well, you have to really watch out with the Epson brand because Epson makes their ink specifically different than everybody else. And if you don't use Epson ink in their machines, it will clog and they will never clear up ever again.
Yeah, okay. Very good tips, guys. All right. Let's go to Judy in Franklin. Judy, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Well, hi, fellas.
Hello.
I wanted to just call to thank you. I have never had any computer issues ever. I just happened to listen to the talk radio thing on the weekend for a while now, and you've always talked about computer restore for some of these people. And I lost the ability to have my printer show up on, you know, like if I wanted to kill a print job or something, it was a blank screen where I had my printer set up, but the printer always worked. It was a weird thing. I didn't know what wiped it out, except I'm only guessing, but I did buy a second printer, and I didn't, it's a wireless one, and I never did do that process, because there's nothing wrong with my printer. The other one does two-sided, and I needed that.
I got you. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Copying.
Okay.
Okay, so anyway, I did put the CD in my laptop, and I did load the info, and I know I saw two printers on there at one point, but at some point, I ended up with a blank, like I had no printers, and it was bizarre, and I had a print job to kill is how I figured it out.
Okay.
And it was nothing there. So I called brother, who gave me the printer, and he had me do the same thing as I did twice this week, which was uninstall and put the,
Right.
Okay, so then he escalated the call to another more smart brother person in the U.S.
Oh, I thought you really called your brother. You called brother.
Oh, yeah, no.
Brother printers.
No. I call my brother once in a while.
That's funny. No, I didn't get blessed with a brother myself, but I called Indonesia brother.
There you go.
Okay. Oh, so it was a brother from a different mother.
Exactly. An offshore mother.
Okay. Oh, my God, yeah, that's great. And so anyway, I never had them escalate my phone call ever, and they did, and then I got an American brother person. I could tell, you know, immediately.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So then I had a reference number and whatnot, and he couldn't, shockingly, the only I say this because I managed to fix my own computer.
Good for you.
Yes, I did.
Good for you.
So you performed a system restore.
I absolutely did, and I just took it back to before when I ever thought I put that other CD in my laptop.
Good for you.
And so what he suggested, which blew now right today, because of what happened, and it went so well. I can't believe he suggested taking Windows off my computer, which unfortunately it has XP. I have two operating systems on it. I have XP and Vista.
Mm-hmm.
It was bought with Vista on it, and mm-hmm. then the XP I didn't want to leave behind. So anyway, okay. I had them put that on, and right before they quit offering it to buy, the XP was like done, I think, June of 8 or something.
Okay. 9. But you were able anyway to go back and reduce,
mm-hmm.
and System Restore was the magic wand.
It was, and he was saying, take Total Windows off, you know, it could be done, and then but you'd lose all your updates, and he said, I don't know, you know, you'd have to get, and I've been through that.
Judy, let's just take a moment, and guys, let's just explain System Restore. I know it's very basic, but as Judy said, it is kind of like a magic wand in some mm-hmm. ways, and it's so simple.
And even technicians can forget about it.
Yep.
You know, because they're so concerned about how to fix the problem. That, you know, it's like waving a magic wand where you say, I want my computer to go back to the way it was at such and such a date
yeah.
before I installed such and such a product or piece of software. And Microsoft keeps track of every piece of software you install on there, every change,
mm-hmm.
the way your icons are arranged in your desk. It keeps
mm-hmm.
track of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if your computer's functioning properly, it can then restore all those settings back to that date.
So what
or
if that,
actually
yeah.
those hundreds of settings.
Right.
And it's perfect for something where the settings get kind of just jumbled, right?
Right, exactly. Between,
so
especially when you're installing a program or a device that has drivers in it, you can get that kind of gunk, if
really?
You will. It
yeah.
gets confused, if you will.
Really?
And I think does the Mac have something like that?
The Mac doesn't use a System Restore type situation to it, but
because when I said magic wand, I just thought of the Mac. I don't know why that is.
She wouldn't even have made the call if it'd been a
Mac.
That's another story.
He's absolutely right.
But what's really important from this, Judy, that you take away from it is that somewhere down the line, maybe on some errant radio show, you actually learned something about how to help you fix your own self, right?
Well, no, and I do. I am listening to learn, but the thing is I didn't have it written down. I thought, oh, my God, how am I going to figure out how to do it? And I just went on Microsoft's. You know, I put the keywords in, and it took me right to it on their website.
There you go. There you go.
I knew it was a safe place.
Well, I am very proud of you for having done that your own diagnostic,
yeah.
and you've also helped us, I think, with a lot of folks who run into problems. You can be a genius many times by simply going to System Restore, and you can type that into the search box, either run
yes.
box, an XP, or if it's on Vista or above, you can search for that System Restore, and you can get taken back magically to that time when things work properly. Judy, thank you so much for being with us, dear. I want to thank the folks who help us, as we say, behind the glass. Scott, thank you so much. Scott Ametta was with us. And also Annie. Annie, thank you very much, our lady of the phones. That smiling voice that you run into every week when you call us here. And thank you for those of you who have joined us on this long weekend. Hope it's a safe one for you out there. And Cal, you had something to tell us about this weekend, as a matter of fact. For those listening live to our program?
Of course, you know. Every month, the Mac Group of Detroit always has their monthly meeting. And that monthly meeting will be on May 26th, which is tomorrow if you happen to be listening to us live. And as much fun as an Internet Advisor show, this meeting will be almost that much fun because the name of it is How to Do Stuff on Your Mac.
Oh.
And so basically, if you show up.
Oh, that's really good, yeah.
You show up and you just throw a question out and say, how do I do this on my Mac?
Very good.
Someone will be there to be able to answer that question.
Yeah, that's a neat thing.
How do you do a System Restore?
Sure.
Oh, there you go.
It's real easy. You buy a Mac and you forget the whole term.
And you never have to do a
system. The user groups, by the way, are a whole lot of fun because they are literally people who love their machines.
Yes.
They love using them and they love swapping information and helping other people. I found, in particular, the help at those user groups is wonderful.
Yeah, it's really good to be there in person, too. We do the same thing every week here, but it's virtual, right? We don't get a chance to really show and tell.
We're kind of in person. We're right there in their radio looking back at them, and they're looking at us.
We can't do a show and tell.
MacGroup.org.
MacGroup.org, which you can go to directly, or you can link to it off our site at InternetAdvisor.net. And also, just to let you know, all the information on when the meeting and time, which will be Sunday, May 26th at 3 p.m., that's at the Birmingham Temple, and you can click on the directions button, and it'll tell you exactly how to get there. And I have one other plea, Foster.
Yes, sir.
This old guy behind the microphone, just we're going to have our 40th class reunion, and I just want to let all my friends know from the Mumford class of 1972 that we're going to have a class reunion on June 6th. And if you want to go to our our site on Facebook, and you can get information on tickets for the class reunion. You can come on out to that as well.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Thanks so much. All right, let's go to our caller who's been waiting patiently there, Thomas from Chatham. How you doing, Tom?
Okay. I happened to encounter the same problem as one of the guy did. Where I turned the computer on and it said that my browser has been changed.
Yes.
I use MSN.ca. So when I put that into the search bar, it took me 5 times to get it. It would put me into MSN something.
Yes.
But not the right one. And after 5 times, I got it.
So it keeps on hijacking your efforts to change your homepage, right?
Right.
Right, exactly. Now, how long has this been going on?
This morning.
Just this morning.
Yeah, yep. So we didn't see anything about this on the typical places that you would look where there would be viruses and they would say this is a big virus. So this could be a zero-day virus that's hitting these folks.
Right. So the first thing I would do is perform, since yours has only been doing this since this morning.
And that was the same as the other guy, right?
Is I would do a system restore. Are you running, what is your Windows version that you're running? Windows XP, Windows 7? Perfect. So in Windows 7, you select start, and then in the search bar, type in system restore.
Okay.
And then you can restore your computer back 1 or 2 days. And you won't lose any data, and it's better to do this sooner than later because some viruses will actually disable system restore, and you can't actually restore your computer back several days. It depends how long they've been on your computer. So restore.
I'll take that out as soon as I get home.
Yeah. So restore your computer back a couple days, and then have you, like our previous caller, tried using your antivirus software or download Malwarebytes?
I used Bitdefender.
I'm sorry. What is that?
Windows I have
Bitdefender.
Bitdefender. Okay, yeah. Which is okay, but let's use the shotgun approach where you have two barrels. Let's download Malwarebytes, which is a great utility. You can get that on internetadvisor.net, and you go to the toolkit, and underneath the malware software, that'll be one of the first items listed as a scanner that you can download, install, and scan your computer with. But that's after you do the system restore. What we want to do is disable the virus or Trojan or search hijack utility program that's on there. And by doing a system restore, you're disabling it. But the software is probably still on your computer. So the scanner, your antivirus, or Malwarebytes should scan and then identify and remove that.
Okay.
Now, Ed, you said let's use two barrels. That's only for malware. It's not for antivirus, right? You only want one antivirus program.
Correct. Right.
So why is that? Explain why that is.
Well, they both viruses attack your computer a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Malware is an entirely different beast. You know, some antiviruses will scan for 95% viruses and 5% malicious software, where malware scanners like CombiFix and Malwarebytes will scan for 95% of the malicious software out there and 5% of viruses. So they do have some overlap, but they both approach it in different ways and scan for different signatures.
And the virus, the antivirus program will embed itself in other things that you need. And you only want one antivirus program.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Okay. Does that help you?
Yes, it is.
All right, Thomas. Thank you so much for giving us a call. Appreciate that. And,
you know, and that really helps. When Thomas and others, like when Judy called in earlier, it's really helpful for everybody to hear what they have to say, because Judy did a lot of really good things. There was a couple callers earlier in the program, the same thing. So, you know, people not only learn from us, but they learn from what other people that call in do.
You pointed out one thing, Gary, and Ed, before we get to you, that you mentioned one of the steps that Judy took is a really good one.
Yeah, at the very end, I heard it. I know some people heard it, but I wanted to point it out again because it was right at the very end.
Yes.
And she said, I went to Microsoft's site directly. I didn't follow a link there. I went there, and because I went there directly, I knew I was going to the Microsoft, legitimate Microsoft site. This goes with any site. If you're not sure, if you get like, God, don't ever, ever use a spam message and say, you know, I'm kind of interested in that. I'll click off and I'll link from that spam message. First of all, it could not go; it might not go to the right place. But even if it goes to the right place, all you're doing is telling the spammer that you're live, that you actually respond to spam, and you'll get a whole lot more. So don't ever respond to spam. But the best thing, even if you want to go to that particular site, go directly there, and mm-hmm. that way you'll make sure you get to the right place.
Two things I was going to bring up. First is, I mean, even after Thomas from Canada, if he still experiences problems after everything he's done and he's running Windows 7, more than likely he's had two versions of Internet Explorer that have been installed on his computer. So what he can do is simply go into the control panel, programs and features. He can uninstall Internet Explorer, the current version he has right now, say Internet Explorer 10 as an example. It will remove Internet Explorer 10, but he'll still have Internet Explorer 9, at which point then he can then, that during his next Windows update, it'll install a fresh copy of Internet Explorer 10. The second thing I wanted to mention is Gene Fogel mentioned that he was having problems with the website.
One of our newscaster here.
Our newscasters. He tackled us right at the knees right as we were coming in the studio here about cookies. And he was saying that his homepage, every time he tried going to his homepage, it was asking him, did your browser has cookies turned off? We told him that he can go into his browser and enable cookies. But another thing he can do is he could change his homepage to something else to see if the problem still happens. Because more than likely, it's the website, his default homepage that's doing that. His default homepage has been hijacked. Or he has an add-on piece of software on there, or malware software. So he could try changing the homepage and see if that goes away.
Guys, I want to thank you very much. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
You too.
For the rest of you listening to us, thank you for being here. The folks behind the glass, all the rest of you, thank you, folks, that you called in. Because you not only help yourself, you help a lot of people. Now we can get in there and dig in and answer questions. Don't forget the show notes are at internetadvisor.net. And I will be posting the podcast of the program, the recording of the program up there on Sunday night. Otherwise, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. How you like that? And get it delivered to you weekly. Have a great and a safe weekend. You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisors Show, the longest-running, locally-produced computer show in Detroit radio. If you'd like to find out more about our weekly show, ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit internetadvisor.net. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisors Show, the longest-running, locally-produced computer show in Detroit radio. If you'd like to find out more about our weekly show, ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit internetadvisor.net. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.